Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We're going to go to the word of the Lord today in Hebrews chapter 9. I want to welcome everyone here today. If you're our guest, thank you so much for joining with us today. And we want to invite you immediately after service to our guest reception just for you. And my wife and I and some of our leaders would love to get to visit with you. That'll be back to my left in our fellowship hall, and we look forward to that time. Just a few moments, if you could stop by, we'd appreciate it. Amen. I've got to brag, folks. I've got to brag. Before we go to the word of the Lord, I've got to brag on this church. Yesterday was spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. And, you know, I think in all of our hearts, there's when that comes around, there's a little dread, like, oh, it's spring cleaning again. But you know what? I want to tell you what. There was such a crowd. I think this was the largest turnout we've ever had, at least since I've been here as your pastor, for spring cleaning. And everybody was working just like little worker ants all over this place yesterday. And some were working outside. Some were on the roof. Some were working in the landscaping. Some were pressure washing. Some were cleaning inside. I mean, some were throwing stuff away. You know, it just, everybody was working everywhere. And those of you that came, we appreciate it. There was many that said we could not be. Some of them even said, I can't be there Saturday, but I'll come Friday or come other days, and I'll help with this or that. So we thank you. I tell you what, when you see a church family pull together like that to take care of the facility God's given with us, it was such a blessing. And thank you, everyone. There's a good spirit when we're working together for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time when then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which only stood in meats and drinks and divers washings and cordial ordinances and imposed on them until the time of reformation. Verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I preach to you on this thought today, when Jesus steps in. When Jesus steps in. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your presence today. Thank you for what we feel. I thank you, God, for preparing our hearts for your word today. I thank you, Jesus, for the lives that you are reaching for in this house. And we pray, God, that you would step into this place today. We pray that your spirit would have its way, that your glory would fill this place. We pray that your power would move, that your will would be accomplished in every heart, in every family in this church for your glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Could you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I wonder how Adam and Eve must have felt. Think of your worst mistake. Think of your worst mistake today. The regret, the guilt, the shame, the sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. Multiply that over and over and over again, and maybe that's a little like Adam and Eve felt. The book of Genesis tells us that because of their sin, God drove them out from the Garden of Eden. And that he put cherubims there with a flaming sword that turned in every direction to guard the tree of life. And where the ground was blessed before and had brought forth fruit easily before, now the ground was cursed. And it grew thorns and weeds. And God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, that in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Oh, they'd had it all. They had everything that they needed, everything that was necessary for a wonderful, wonderful life. They walked and they talked with God. They enjoyed everything there in the Garden of Eden until sin found a way in. And everything they'd taken for granted at that point had disappeared. No longer did they enjoy walking and talking with the Lord. No longer could they eat of the tree of life. Now things did not come easily, but the ground was cursed. And since that time, every human being has been born into a sinful state. Spiritually dead. But isn't it awesome how nothing ever takes God by surprise? Isn't that awesome? He knows the end from the beginning, and he has designed a plan for our lives to take us forward. Before the fall of man ever happened in the garden, God knew it was going to happen. Amen. And he had already made arrangements to restore man to his rightful or to his original position and to redeem him from the curse of sin. And then throughout history, we can study the Bible, how God dealt with man through each dispensation of time. See, after Adam and Eve failed God so miserably in the first dispensation, each succeeding dispensation of time, it progressively revealed and expanded the plan of God for our salvation. We see how God made a way to save Noah and his family because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then God called Abram to leave his country and to leave his family and promised that he'd make him the father of a great nation. And Isaac and Jacob and his sons, the children of Israel. As God desired a people that would be his own, that would be set apart from all the others. After 400 years in Egypt, God called Moses to deliver them from captivity. And as the final plague that broke Egypt, God established the Passover, where only those houses protected by the blood of the sacrificial lamb could escape death of the firstborn. What miracles as they left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. God healed the bitter waters at Marah. They received the manna and the quail from heaven. And then about 6 weeks after leaving Egypt, they reached Sinai, where they camped out for about a year, and God gave them his laws, and he gave them his covenant, and he instructed them on their way to worship. God's plan always moves forward. I want to get some help here today. God's plan always moves forward. God gave them the plan for worship. He didn't want them just to come any certain way to worship, but he had a plan. And so we've studied these different items of furniture that were in the tabernacle, and the brazen altar was the largest piece of furniture in the tabernacle. Doing great here today. God told Moses to make an altar of shittim wood, and it was to be about 5 cubits long and about 5 cubits wide and 3 cubits high. There were to be horns on the 4 corners of it, and it was all to be overlaid with brass. There were to be 4 brazen rings, and they were to make poles out of shittim wood, and they were to overlay them with brass, and the poles were to be put in the rings to carry the altar. Now, this altar today, it doesn't hardly even compare to this altar they had then, but this is what we have today. And I want to say that I don't know the exact measurements. It's relative, okay? It's relative. But can you see it in your mind? The altar is important. When it comes to worshiping God, there must be a sacrifice that's offered up to heaven. And before anything else could be done in the tabernacle, there had to be a sacrifice on the altar. We all, every single one of us, have to have an altar experience. There has to be a sacrifice in our lives where we put the Lord first in our hearts. And it doesn't need to just be one time in our life and then that's it. But I believe it needs to be often. I believe it. If it's been a few days since we've been to the altar, then we need to find our way to that altar in our lives and say, God, I need you, and I put myself on the altar. Today, the altar represents a place of worship. The altar represents the dying of our flesh. The altar represents the bringing of our offerings financially unto the Lord. The altar, it represents the necessary step in salvation of repentance. Don't neglect the altar. Don't you forget the altar. Don't you miss the altar in your life. But you need to build an altar every day. There needs to be a place that you go to and you say, Lord, I humble myself before you, and I need your presence, and I'm going to start at an altar today. Next was the brazen laver of water. God places high, high priority on purity. Before the priests were to enter into the sanctuary, they had to be cleansed. On the Day of Atonement, before the high priest could minister in the Holy of Holies, he had to be cleansed. Oh, how we need to be washed clean. And oh, not only just in salvation, but through baptism, but there needs to be a daily washing of the blood of Jesus. We need to be cleansed by a washing of his word in our life. The brazen altar was made out of brass that was highly polished, and when the priest came to wash in it, they could see their reflection. They could see where the dirt was, and they could see what needed to be washed so that they could be clean. And I tell you, there needs to be a revealing of who we are. Oh, God, reveal to us by your Spirit and by your Word, and show us where our faults are. Show us where we need to repent. Show us what we need to do to be pure before your presence. Next, the priest would enter into the sanctuary where the first piece of furniture was the lampstand or the candlestick. Was an oil-burning lamp symbolizing the Spirit of God. The only light in the holy place or the sanctuary as the priest would minister was that lampstand. And they could see because of its light. What a symbol of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. That light that burned, it was an oil-burning lamp and representing the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, we need the direction of God's Spirit. We need that light burning in our hearts, guiding our way. We've got to be led of the Spirit. We must not walk according to our flesh, just doing whatever we please and whatever we desire, but we need God's Spirit to direct us and guide us. After all, we're His people, and this is His church, and what He wants is what we should be doing. There was also a table of showbread where the bread gave nourishment and strength for the priest as they ministered before the Lord. Thank God we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Are you thankful for the word today? Praise the Lord. The altar of incense, it was different from the brazen altar. The golden altar of incense wasn't for blood sacrifice, but it was to burn incense, which expressed worship and praise and intercession before the Lord. And I tell you, our lives need to offer worship and praise unto Him. And oh, that there would be a sweet smell of incense that would come from our prayers and would come from our worship. Let there be incense that comes from us interceding before God's presence, and let it filter up into the very throne room of God. There was a veil made of blue and purple and scarlet that separated the sanctuary from the Holy of Holies. In the veil, there was embroidered cherubim, and the cherubim foreshadowed what was beyond the veil, the cherubim that were on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. That veil separated the presence of God from just ordinary life and just the ordinary day that the priest would minister. It represented the way into God's presence. It represented the supernatural that was behind the veil. Beyond that veil was only one piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant. It's interesting that God laid out the plans to Moses, and the first thing that he told him about was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the first thing that was made in the tabernacle. It was the most sacred piece of furniture because it represented the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. It was a rectangular chest made out of shittim wood and overlaid with gold. And gold rings were on the side of the ark so the Levites could transport it with wooden poles. And on top of the ark was a sheet of pure gold called the mercy seat. It was in one piece with two golden cherubim facing one another, and they stretched their wings high, covering the mercy seat. And in between them is where God chose to dwell, and He chose to meet with His people there. All of the other pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, they all pointed towards the Ark of the Covenant. All of the rituals that the priest went through, all of their ministering, it all pointed forward to the Ark of the Covenant. Everything else in the tabernacle, it was part of the pattern and plan to move forward into the divine presence of Almighty God. If there was no Ark of the Covenant, then all the other vessels in the sanctuary and all the services of the priest, they would have all been useless and powerless. But everything pointed forward to the presence of Almighty God. I really hope somebody's getting this today, because God is calling you forward. God is calling this church forward. We can't dwell on the past. We're thankful for the things of the past. Some things we're just thankful we got through some of the things in the past. But now God is saying, I have a future for you. I have a future for this church. I have a greater mountaintop to climb. I have greater miracles. I'm not done with you yet, but I'm still moving you forward. And it's time to go forward. It's time to answer the call of God. It's time to move forward into another dimension of power and glory and anointing. In Leviticus chapter 16, we read of the Day of Atonement. It was that one day a year that the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. In verse 1 and 2 of Leviticus 16, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." It was after the death of the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Those sons of Aaron had taken fire in their censers. It was not fire from the coals of the altar, but it was strange fire of their own making. It was not the fire that God had sent, but it was earthly fire. It was strange fire. And in Leviticus 10 and verse 2 and 3, we read, "And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." God's not messing around with his presence. His presence, he's a holy God. His presence is to be revered. His presence is to be respected. God, I tell you, his presence, oh, it's a holy thing. Even today, what a blessing to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and to come in his presence and to worship him and magnify him in spirit and in truth. But we must never forget, he is still a holy God, and he is still very particular about his presence. There are many churches and there's many people who believe, well, oh, the tabernacle and yeah, that was old-fashioned, but now the veil has been rent in two and we can just go in the presence of God at any time. And yes, I'm thankful for that, but God's still very particular about his presence. God still wants there to be a washing. God still wants there to be a sacrifice. God still wants there to be a cleansing of our hearts and minds. God still wants his people to live holy. God's a holy God, and I want to tell you today, it's still true that he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so when God gave them direction about the Day of Atonement, he includes a reminder about what happened to Nadab and Abihu. And so he gives some guidelines so that other priests wouldn't die. Aaron wasn't to go in the holy place, the holiest of holies, just whenever he liked, but it was to be once a year. Because familiarity can breed contempt. But God is still holy. And he's still the same God that appeared to Moses on the mountaintop. He was still the same God that told the people not to touch the mountain or else they would die. In order to approach the presence of God, they had first had to be atonement for sin. Aaron was to dress in a particular way. He was to bring a sacrifice himself to make atonement for his sins and for his family's sins. And he was to bring a sacrifice for the people. He was to bring two goats, one for an offering for the Lord and the other a scapegoat. He was to cast lots, and one goat was to be sacrificed and the other was to be presented alive unto the Lord. Aaron was to present his own offering to the Lord, and then he would take a censer full of burning coals from the fire of the altar, and in his hands, sweet-smelling incense, and he would bring it past the veil, and there within the veil, he would offer that incense before the Lord so that a cloud of incense there would cover the mercy seat that is on the Ark of the Covenant so that he would not die from being face-to-face with God. Then he was to take the blood of the bullock that he had offered, and he was to sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat. And then he was to go out and he was to offer the goat as a sin offering for the people. And he was to do the same then with the blood of the goat upon the mercy seat, making atonement for their sins. There's a process, there's a plan to all of this. And then after that, Aaron was to go out and he was to take the live goat, and he placed his hands on the head of it, signifying that he was putting the sins of all the people upon this goat. And then they would send it out into the wilderness as a scapegoat, carrying away the sins of the people. The foreshadowing of the day that's in the Day of Atonement, it's so powerful. Can you see with me Jesus Christ carrying the burden of the sin of the whole world? And even when he was before Caiaphas, the high priest, it says that they spit in his face. It says that they slapped him with the palm of their hands. Little did they realize he was dying for their sins. Little did they realize who this was, the perfect sacrifice. How symbolic it was that perhaps even Caiaphas, the high priest, laid his hands on the Lord, who was a perfect sacrifice for their sins. And as they crucified him, as they crucified Jesus in one moment that was so heavy with significance, Jesus reached back to the beginning for all the sins that had ever been committed. They'd always been pushed ahead, just forward, just another single year. And he reached back for all of those sins. And then he reached forward through time, even to our day, to bear the weight of the sins of every single man and woman that has ever lived. And just as the priest in the temple were there ministering in the tabernacle or in the temple, and just as they were preparing the evening sacrifice, it was as if Jesus said, "That's enough. That's enough. The blood of bulls and goats has done all that it can do, but now it's time for a better sacrifice. Now it's time. The fulfillment of time has come, and now I'm going to give myself as that sacrifice." And he gave himself willingly a sacrifice for our sin. And it was at that very moment that Jesus died, that in the temple from the top to the bottom, the veil was torn, symbolizing that it could have never been done by man's hands. But from the top to the bottom, that veil was rent. And I want to tell you today, it was forever changed. And God made a way of salvation for us. God made a way that we can approach his presence. God made a way that we can be into the very presence of Almighty God. We are a blessed people today. We are a blessed people today. He gave himself for us. He entered himself. He was the ultimate high priest. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. When that veil of the temple was rent, it signified that he had become the atonement for sin. It signified that his spirit would now dwell in our hearts, and it would not be in a tabernacle or a temple that was made with men's hands, but now he would dwell in our hearts and his spirit would fill our lives. And in our text, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect sacrifice," more perfect tabernacle, "not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He established a new covenant when he died. There's no longer any need for a day of atonement each year. But that first Good Friday, it was the definitive day of atonement when man's sins were purged once and for all. And now every woman and every man who is in Christ, we have the right. It was once reserved only for the high priest once a year, but now we have the right to enter into the presence of God. Aaron could only go in one time a year, but now we can draw near to the Lord any time and as often as we would like. You could be driving down the road and there in your car, and all of a sudden you enter into the presence of God. You can be in your prayer closet at home and nobody else around, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to inhabit that place. You can come to a church service like this where we begin to worship and magnify the King of Kings, and his spirit starts moving and starts working in lives. What a blessing it is to be able to enter into the presence of Almighty God. The blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. And just as the high priest would go through the veil, Jesus, the highest priest, he stepped into a more perfect tabernacle, a heavenly place, one that doesn't belong to a world that will pass away, but it's into a dimension that's invisible. It's a kingdom that's unshakable. And when he stepped in, he became the atonement for every one of us. I'm thankful for the plan of salvation today. I'm thankful for it. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we can go to the altar and we can say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done, Lord. My flesh has to die on this altar.
I'm thankful that we can go to the baptistry and we can be washed in the name of Jesus, and that His blood covers us and washes away our sin. I'm so thankful that we can enter the Holy of Holies today, and that we can be filled with the very Spirit of God as we speak in tongues, as the Spirit gives the utterance. What a blessing the plan of salvation is today. When Jesus steps in, the Holy of Holies is no longer separated by the veil. It's no longer just for the high priest. But Jesus stepped in, and He worked a miracle from the inside out. Today, I feel like God wants to work some miracles from the inside out. From the inside out. I was in prayer, praying about the service, and all of a sudden, it was as if I saw there was a body, and there was arms, and there was hands, and there was veins, and arteries, and all the things that are under the skin. And it was almost like from the inside moving out to the outer extremities, out into the fingers, it was like virtue was flowing from the presence of God into someone's body. I feel like God wants to do that kind of thing. And then I was praying, and I don't want to embarrass y'all, but Luke, I was praying, and I saw a face. And I'm like, who is that? And Brother Edwards, so good to have you all today. And I saw Brother Edwards here today. I was like, you know what? It looks like Brother Edwards. And then I looked next to him. I was like, no, it's not Brother Edwards. It's Luke. Love my buddy. God knows what He wants to do, but I just feel today from the inside out, God wants to do something in your life. And He's already working, and He's been blessing. And I'm just going to pray for my friend, Brother Edwards, because it might be applying to him too. I want the Lord to do a work on the inside of his body, that there be a work of healing virtue that would flow today. Praise the Lord. And not just for them, but I believe there's people in this house today that you need healing in your body. You need strength. You need deliverance. You need a touch that can't come from a natural physical place, but it's going to have to be a supernatural touch of God. But I believe today that His Spirit can start to work in us. I feel His presence right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, and I believe as His presence moves in our heart, that it can flow to every part of our body. It can flow and touch our mind. It can flow and bring healing to our heart. It can bring healing to emotions. It can bring healing to pain. Amen. When you're in the presence of God, anything can happen. God is not limited. He's not limited by time. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by the natural laws. He's not limited by the laws of man. God can move, and He can work, and He can do anything. He can do anything. I wonder if you'd stand with me in closing today. Today is Mission in Motion Sacrifice Sunday. We're going to be bringing our offerings today. And on this, there's a place for you to put the miracles you're believing for. Now, we're not going to pass these around. We're not going to show everybody. But if you have a miracle that you are believing for, I want you to put it on there. And you don't have to go into detail about it, but you can put something just to signify what it is. If you would write that on there, we're going to bring these forward in just a moment. And there's no pressure here today. You don't have to be a part of this. You don't have to be pressured to give a certain amount. If you want to give 10 cents or if you want to give $10,000, that's that, whatever God deals with you about that, okay? But we're going to believe today that God is going to take us forward. And when we bring these offerings today, we're believing it's signifying that we're moving forward. this is a sacrifice, but God's going to bless it, and that God's going to receive it. Today, the altar represents a sacrifice offering. The laver of water, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. The candlestick, that oil of anointing, we need that fire burning in us. The table of showbread, we need the Word of God. The altar of incense, there needs to be a place for praise and prayer and worship in us. And beyond the veil, signifying the supernatural, signifying the presence of God. I believe today that God wants to do something, and I don't know what all He wants to do. I just feel He wants to work from the inside out to do miracles and to bless and to touch lives. I believe He wants to heal emotions today. When Jesus steps in, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Today, we're going to ask you to come, and kind of tight here, but what we're asking is, people, if you would come from the middle and come forward, and then if you would gather and press your way to the altar here, we're going to come, we're going to bring our offering, and then we're going to worship, and we're going to pray and ask that God would work and move. I want my family to come. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do too, okay? So we had a family meeting, and we decided what we were going to give, and I put down what Mom and I are going to give, and then I asked the kids what they would like to do, and they each put an amount. And some of them don't have their cash today, so they'll have to pay me back. And anyway, Aaron, he had to make atonement for his own sin first. And I've got to be a leader. I want this to be God's church. It's not my church. Okay? It is not. This is God's church. But God's called us to lead the church, and so I want to do my best to follow the will of God forward. And so today, we're going to lead you as a family. Colt, help me out here. All right? Let's put this. There's two slots here. All right? Let's put that offering in there today, okay? All right. And we're going to pray that God just does something special. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and begin to play. And if you would come, there's no pressure today. There's no pressure to give, but we want everybody to join us in the altar today. And we're going to believe that this is something, it's something we're doing. It's just an altar made out of cardboard and paint and all of that. But this is something signifying something eternal. We're making a commitment to God, and I believe that He's going to bless us today. And then I want us to gather around this altar. We're going to pray, and we're going to believe that God's going to bless. Amen. Would you come today? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we bring these offerings to You today. Lord, You know the sacrifice. You see the hearts, Lord. You see people today that You've dealt with us and You've given us, Lord, an amount to give. And God, this is going for the movement forward that You have called us to. This is going for the next level that you have designed for us, God. And I pray, Lord, that You would bring blessings. Lord, not just financial blessings, but Lord, I pray that You would bless financially. And I pray, God, that You would bless people's families. I pray that You would open doors for them. I pray that You would bring favor upon their life, God. I pray, Lord, that You would bring favor upon their homes. I pray, Lord, that You would send Your angels to encamp round about their home. I pray, God, that You would bless them on their job. I pray that You would bless them, God, in their hobbies. I pray that You would bless them in every aspect of their life. I pray that You would bless them in their prayer life, Lord. Draw them to a greater place of relationship with You. I pray that You would touch their body today, God, that there would be healing virtue that would flow in this house, Lord, straight from Your presence in Jesus' name, that You would begin to do a work on the inside out. God, I pray that You will let the power of the Holy Ghost fall. I pray that You will let Your glory fill this place and fill our hearts. I pray, Lord, that You would accomplish Your will in every life and in every heart. We give You the praise for what You're going to do. And Lord, I pray that you will let there be a powerful move of your presence that would start here in our lives today. God, that would spread all across this city, that there would be a great revival, that there would be a great awakening of your power and of your presence and of your name in the last days. God, I pray that you would set this church on fire. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work through us in this city for your glory. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. We give you the worship today, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, can we gather in around the altar today? And I want you to believe God for those miracles. Believe God for those healings. Believe God for that deliverance today. Believe God for that miracle in your family today. In the name of Jesus.
More than enough, he can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai, he always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh,
oh yes,
he is my God.
My God is more than enough.
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai, he always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh,
yes,
he is my God.
Jehovah Jireh, yes. I said Jehovah Jireh.
Oh, he is my God.
Jehovah Jireh, oh, yes.
He is my God.
So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, when by my faith I know my God is more than enough?
He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai, he always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh,
yes, he is.
He is my God.
Yes, he is. Jehovah Jireh,
Jehovah Jireh.
All of the earth is his, and the fullness thereof.
Everything that I need, you can be sure of. Jehovah Jireh,
yes, he is.
He is my God.
Oh, yes, so why
should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, when by my faith I know my God is more than enough? He can supply all my need. He is my El Shaddai, he always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, he is my God.
All of the earth
is his, and the fullness thereof. Everything that I need, you can be sure of.
Jehovah
Jireh,
yes, he is.
He is my God.
Oh, all of the earth is his.
All of the earth is his, and the fullness thereof. Everything that I need, you can be sure of. Jehovah Jireh,
oh yes,
he is my God.
So why should I worry? Yes.
So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, when by my faith I know my God is more than enough? He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai, he always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh,
yes, he is.
He is my God.
Jehovah Jireh, yes, sing it.
Jehovah Jireh, he is
my God. Is more than enough.
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai, he always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh,
oh yes,
he is my God.
Jehovah Jireh, Jireh, He is my God.
Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, He is.
He is my God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, sometimes we're in the presence of the Lord and God's moving, God's working, God wants to work. We've got the music team that's singing and we've got the words on the screen, and sometimes we're so focused on everybody else, but the Lord's saying, I just want you to focus on me. All across this house, I just wonder if in our hearts we could just put everybody else out of our minds right now. Put the special service out of our mind. Put all the things that have been going on and put off where we're going next. And I wonder if we could just focus on the Lord just a moment. Amen. Just because that temple veil was rent, it doesn't mean that God doesn't still want people to come into His presence. But all the more so, I believe He says, I want to dwell with you. And I want to hear your prayers, and I want to receive your worship, and I want you to come before me, and I want to move in your midst. And I believe that's here today. I wonder if we could just forget about everybody else and just begin to worship God and magnify God and say, Lord, I just want to enter into your presence right now. I just want to enter in your presence, Lord. I just want to be in your glory right now. God, I just want to be here where your spirit can move and work in me. And God, that you can minister to some things in my life right now. Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh,
oh, yes.
He is my God.
Jehovah, yes, Lord.
Jehovah Jireh, He is my God.
Yes, all of the earth.
All of the earth is His, and the fullness thereof. Everything that I need, you can be sure of. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God.
Jehovah Lord.
Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, He is.
He is my God.
So why should I worry?
So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs? When by my faith I know my God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Oh, Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, He is.
He is my God.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh. He is my God.
All of the earth is His.
All of the earth is His. And the fullness thereof. Everything that I need, you can be sure of. Jehovah Jireh,
He is.
He is my God.
Yes, He is.
Jehovah Jireh, He is my God.
So why should I worry?
So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs? When by my faith I know my God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs.
Hallelujah.
He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, He is my God.